You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
It's time for Make the Call, a weekly discussion on the top Wisconsin sports stories of the week. You can listen to the show anytime on the free Civic Media app. Download it now on your device's app store or at civicmedia.us/app. Now, it's time for Make the Call, a Civic Media sports production.
It's another Saturday morning, which means you get to spend it with us here on Civic Media and Make the Call. I'm Jimmy Cuska, and Make the Call is your weekly look at sports around the Civic Media sports empire, now spanning three states and at least a couple of dozen markets here in Wisconsin, Michigan, Minnesota. Thank you for joining us, and looking forward to a lot of fun on the show today. Our roundtable panel is back this week after a Thanksgiving week off. That includes Gray Gunderson in Park Falls. How's it going, Gray?
Great, because I didn't combine mashed potatoes and corn.
Valid. Conrad Krieger in Green Bay. What's up?
I'm doing good because I mixed mashed potatoes and corn, and it tastes great. All right. Don't knock it until you try it.
Parker Olson in Madison, also part of the roundtable. What's going on, Parker?
Also a part of the mashed potatoes and corn club.
In my case, 7 cans of the canned cranberries later, I'm here. And as we do on our Saturday morning shows, we are back to beginning it with our top 7 at 7. So what this is we take 7 sports stories that we think are the most important this week or least important. I start this segment by asking you guys today about the Wisconsin Marquette basketball matchup, the annual meeting between the Badgers and the Golden Eagles. What's your hype level for today? Let's start with Parker.
I'm pretty hyped about this. I love a good in-state rivalry, and I don't know a ton about Marquette, but I do know the type of team that can beat the Badgers, and that is a team who is physical and can lock down on defense. That's what we've seen so far. They kind of got their butts handed to them by TCU during the Thanksgiving week, so I'm interested to see what happens. Love a good in-state rivalry.
Great.
I'm doubling up on what Parker said about the interstate rivalry. You can't miss with that one. It's got appeal that anybody can understand because there's just the players are different. No matter what sport, no matter what conference, if you've got that kind of beef, you can feel it when you're watching the sport, and that's fantastic for the fan.
Conrad.
I am super hype. I can't wait to see John Blackwell and Nick Boyd put up, you know, maybe 20 and 30 on the Marquette Golden Eagles. The Golden Eagles aren't that good this year. They're 5-4, and they've lost to not that great teams, but won against like terrible teams. So I'm thinking we're gonna win by 20 points. I'm putting it there.
Ooh, I like it.
Number 6 in our top 7 at 7. Do the Milwaukee Bucks make the playoffs this year? As of last check, they were just outside of even the play-in window, which is an amazing thing that we have to even ask at this point of the season at the quarter pole. So I'm going to go right back to you, Conrad. Do you think the Bucks make the playoffs this year?
You know, we just heard that Giannis is out for a little bit. And I mean, they got Kevin Porter Jr. back, which is good. He's a great player, great facilitator. He can score some points as well. But honestly, without Giannis, I'm thinking they're going to lose a bunch right here. And it's going to be tough to get back when he gets back to a winning record. So I'm going to say no right now.
I'm going to send it over to Gray. Gray, what do you think?
Building off what Conrad said, it'll depend on what state Giannis comes back in, basically. If he's Superman upon his return and he's feeling motivated, which is not what anybody expects, I think. I mean, sure, if he's healthy, that's one thing, but just ready to go further than he's ever gone before, he may have to bring them back from the brink, and can he, you know? And that we're already talking about that while he's just injured. I'm not optimistic.
Parker, how about you?
I would love to bring some more optimism here, but frankly, I'm not sure I've got any for you. I really don't feel like the Bucks have got a ton of momentum, even with Giannis on the court. I think that they just have got so much going on off the court that it's just kind of hard to work with, frankly. Even if he wants to be here, if there's so much media noise and all of that stuff, it can be hard to get out of, and they've dug themselves into a hole. I'm not sure they can make it in.
We'll talk more about the Bucks in the top 7 at 7 here in just a bit. Speaking of eternal optimism, though, we've reached number 5 in our top 7 at 7. Badgers football just finished off a 4-8 season. Recruiting classes ranked below a bunch of directional schools in the South. And oh, by the way, they just had to drop an opponent for next year and have replaced them with a directional school from Michigan. So the vibes are not going so well right now in Madison with Badgers football. So I've got to ask what your outlook is. And we're going to start with Gray on this question. How do you feel about Badgers football right now?
So I'd like to call back to one of our shows from, actually almost a couple months ago now, when it was clear that the Badgers were not going to have the season everybody hoped, and instead it was was the season everybody feared. We started changing our expectations. From a win, it went to let's score some points, and that became let's just show well in the run defense, something. And I'm afraid it's going to kind of look like that again this coming year, and especially looking at successes off the field. Like, hey, have we found a way to pull some NIL tricks? You know, maybe we look for things that speak well for the football team, but aren't plays that take place on the field. That's where I'm going to be looking for Badgers football, is what's going to benefit the program that wasn't what happened on the field.
Conrad, how about you?
You know, we didn't fire Luke Fickell. We didn't do the buyout so that we could spend more money on players. And I expect that completely. Get some players, just get us something that we can kind of look forward to, but I don't expect much next season.
And we send it over to Parker.
Conrad, I think you're onto something there. We have to remember that the window is not open for finding players for next year. There's a chance that you're still getting new commits straight out of high school, if that is something that exists anymore. And there is a good chance that you're going to get a pretty fair number of transfers coming in. I don't think I'm going to start talking about how bad the roster is right now. And I think that they made a little bit of headway, got a little bit of headway going, a little bit of momentum at the end of the year there. I do think that these players care about this team, and that's all I really need to give me a little bit of excitement going into next year. That scheduling thing, though, really odd. I'm really interested in what happened there.
It is a little odd, and the fact that they're going from Pitt to Eastern Michigan for a game next year is part of that run, though. They start with a game against Notre Dame at Lambeau Field, which should be pretty cool, but yeah, and then you got a couple of bye games, for lack of a better term. Bye, not as in bye week, but bye as in they're paying teams to be there, which makes it a little interesting. All right, number four in the top seven at seven. Speaking of expectations, we're going to go kind of on the other end of this, because the Packers are currently in a position where anything could happen. They could be first, they could be seventh. So packed in tight at the top. So the Packers' expectations now, how far do the Packers go this year? And I'm going to move it over to Green Bay and Conrad to start us off here.
You know, I expect us to be in the playoffs, but what the seed is, I have no idea. Now we got to take it week by week. It's like, what's going to happen this week? I can't look past the Bears game coming up, you know, the week after that. It's just, it's week to week right now.
It's very fair. Parker, how about you?
I kind of feel the same way. I will say, though, that the Packers did prove me wrong pretty quickly after saying a couple of weeks ago that I was expecting us to go 4-3 with the remaining schedule. They've already cranked off two wins, and I did not think they were going to beat the Lions on Thanksgiving. So maybe that ceiling is a little bit higher, or maybe the floor, rather, is a little bit higher than I was afraid of. And this team, well, what's a Packers season without an NFC championship appearance?
Gray, how about you?
Without an NFC championship loss, the way it's felt in like for people our age especially, it's been so many playoff losses, and that might be the only knock left on Matt LaFleur's record. He's shown that he can ditch that conservative mantle and he can get aggressive in Dan Campbell's house. I mean, that was magnificent to watch. But frankly, it's time to get spiritual. I'm terrified because so much of our fate does not depend on us. You look at the one seed in the NFC, the Bears, and you go down to number seven, they're separated by one loss right now. That means the Packers only have an extremely limited amount of control. Ask me again in 3 weeks and watch me chew my fingernails.
Number three in our top seven at seven, and this is the most important question we're going to ask today. The Milwaukee Brewers unveiled some new uniforms. They are the light blue, powder blue. What do you think? Let's go back to Conrad.
I love it. I don't own a Brewers jersey, but I'm thinking about it now. Those are sweet.
They are pretty sweet. Parker, how about you?
Beautiful jersey. Absolutely gorgeous jersey. Where in the world are the blue pants? I'm so, yeah,
they're
like
paired with the gray pants with this. Yes.
It's like wearing a black sports jacket with navy pants. It doesn't make sense to wear powder blue jerseys and gray pants. I'm done. I can't believe it.
Gray, how about you?
I'm kind of in Camp Parker and Camp Conrad here, because I like it in concept. The jersey itself, in a vacuum, that jersey's great. But add the pants, and I'm going to go further, add the normal hat that they've got on the model right now. And it's like, how much can we look like the Savannah Bananas? And you still missed. Like, not a fan on that one. Like the jersey, though. I honestly don't know what that means. I'll give it a C.
We should have asked, how do you like the new uniform combination, which would have elicited a much different response here.
Sorry.
Yes, the jersey itself, I think, looks pretty cool personally,
same.
But that's just me. All right, cool. All right. Number two in the top seven at seven, and this might be number one in everybody's mind this week just because of everything that's happened. So Giannis Antetokounmpo is out for 2 to 4 weeks with a leg injury. He's already missed time with a previous injury. The Bucks are floundering. They just lost to a two-win team. Got beat after the Wizards rallied from behind to defeat him. So all the questions and all of the prognostication has been Giannis Antetokounmpo wants a trade. He wants to go to New York. So looking at it from a Bucks perspective, is it time for Giannis to go? I'm going to start with Parker on this one.
I don't think that it's time for Giannis to go. I would like to see them try to salvage this year. Am I coping? Yeah, probably. It is so important, I think, for the city of Milwaukee, A, to have Giannis, but B, just to have somebody like that who has embraced the city as he has. I really would hate to see him go, and I'm kind of just clinging on for dear life.
Gray.
Look, death, taxes, and Gray comparing things to football. You saw this coming, but it reminds me of Aaron Rodgers. The discourse, the feeling in the air is at that point where, okay, you know what would feel really great? Giannis coming out and saying, I will play next season for the New York Jets. Like, that would be catharsis. That would be release. We could at least move on and be sure. There's a certain point at which you got to just pop the blister, even though it's going to sting for a little while. You can start the rebuild proper. That's I think we're there.
And over to Conrad.
Giannis is our franchise guy. Like, there's no way around it. Why would you not want him to stay? I don't think there's a trade package anyone could offer that could be for Giannis that would be fair, to be honest. Like, yeah, you have draft picks, but the Bucks haven't had a good draft pick since Giannis. There hasn't been a single one that's been good. So I don't believe in their draft abilities. So I say keep Giannis. He's the future of the franchise, the only person we got.
That brings us to our number one in our top seven at seven, and we're going to spend a lot of time talking Packers today, but we like to reserve this top slot during football season for a prediction on the upcoming game. Last time we were on the show, we had to predict two games. I'm cutting that task in half to one with about a minute and a half to go here in the segment. Packers-Bears predictions, Parker.
I've got the Packers winning this game. I don't feel great about it, though. I think a little while ago I said something about how the Bears didn't have a lot of impressive wins. I'm starting to feel like they might still be somebody that you need to worry about. So I've got the Packers, but very, very close.
We'll head over to Green Bay right in the heart of it and ask Conrad what he thinks.
Stop the run game and we win. That's it.
I like
that.
That's
a very long prediction, Conrad. All right. Well, then that just leaves one left here to go on the panel, and that is Gray.
No, I love the simplicity of Conrad's answer. I think that's essentially exactly the case. You got 225-yard rushers last week. We can't allow that again with players missing who would help. Devontae Wyatt's gone, so watch that. Watch the Packers' interior defensive line. Also, the Bears give up more points than any team with a winning record. So if the Packers win the turnover battle, which the Bears usually win, then the Packers win. Stop the run, win the turnover battle, win the game.
I'm going to ask you guys when we get to our roundtable just about some of the positional matchups. And I'm curious how the Packers defensive front matches up with that and getting your thoughts on all of those things. That's our first segment of Make the Call. We've got a lot more to get to on the program today. We'll hit our roundtable back up in about 15 minutes from now. But coming up next, we're going to deep dive on the Badgers. The volleyball program is in the NCAA tournament. Football wrapped up its season. Basketball, of course, has a big game with Marquette today. A lot to get to with Jake Kokorowski of Badger Observer. And that is next here on Make the Call, part of the Civic Media Sports Network.
Another Bucks player injured. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NBA. The Bucks' A.J. Green had to leave last night in the second quarter. Milwaukee losing to the 76ers, 116-101 at Five Serve Forum. Head coach Doc Rivers asked about what happened to Green in the first half.
Do you have an update on?
Don't know how bad it is. It's a shoulder, which isn't great. We'll do an MRI tomorrow, and we'll find out. We're going to do the MRI in Detroit.
The Bucks play the Pistons tonight. College volleyball, the Badgers women's team with a sweep of North Carolina at the UW Fieldhouse, 3-0. So the Badgers volleyball team advances to the regional semifinals for the 13th year in a row. NFL, how big is the Packers-Bears game tomorrow afternoon at 3:25?
Man, that's a big game. Big game for sure, obviously. NFC North matchup, and obviously the Bears number one in the NFC and top in the NFC North right now. So.
That's Packers quarterback Jordan Love with Sports on Mike Clemens.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back to Make the Call on Civic Media.
It is Make the Call here on Civic Media, and in this segment, we are going to spend some time talking Badgers. The Make the Call segment is with Jake Kokorowski of Badger Observer. And Jake, it's great to have you on for an extended segment a bit, because there's a lot happening in Badgerland right now. Let's start with last night, where we saw the Wisconsin Badgers volleyball team advance to the Sweet 16. They got 60 kills, 22 of them from Mimi Collier, to advance to the Sweet 16 in a sweep over North Carolina. What can you tell us about the Badgers volleyball team?
Yeah, I mean, once again, I mean, this is really astounding, Jimmy, where, like, Kelly Sheffield, this is his 13th season at Wisconsin. He hasn't missed a Sweet 16 appearance since he's gotten to Madison. That's really impressive. And it also shows just, you know, Wisconsin was always a solid volleyball program previously. But this goes to show just how much Kelly Sheffield has taken this program to new heights, you know, in a baker's dozen of years. So you see, like, Wisconsin offensively, they're one of the best teams in the nation in hitting percentage. And you see just what they're doing, you know, match in, match out for the most part, especially late with Charlie Furbringer, the All-American center, returning. And she really just hands down is able to direct, you know, her passes, her sets to a number of players. That includes Mimi Collier, 22 kills, you know, Friday night, hit it over 400. For those that don't know, hitting percentage, you know, when you get, usually want to shoot for around 300 to 350 is elite. She hit over 400 against North Carolina. And the big thing with North Carolina too, they came in like one of the best teams in the nation in blocks, but also opponents, they were a top 20 team in opponents hitting percentage. And Wisconsin, you know, got the job done offensively. And, you know, it's a tight, third set, especially towards the end, where at one point North Carolina was up 25-24, looking to close out and force a fourth set. Well, Wisconsin came back on a 3-0 run and clinched the Sweet 16, and they're now on their way to Austin.
Well, Badgers volleyball, certainly one of the highlights happening right now at the University of Wisconsin. Let's go to the other end for a moment, Jake, if you'll indulge me, because the Badgers football season has wrapped up. There was some panic this week over the number of recruits signed, and then there was a calm reassurance with some suggesting that the Badgers are more or less investing what they have in recruiting into the transfer portal and trying to jumpstart a program that, you know, has not met the expectations the past couple of years. And I look at that combined with the schedule swap for next year, and it just seems to me like the vibes are off a bit with the football program. I know this is like a day-to-day thing, but what are you hearing this week with Wisconsin football?
Starting with the Wisconsin-Pittsburgh news, you know, it's, I know one thing is, yeah, if I'm not mistaken, the ACC is going to a 9-game schedule, right? 9-game schedule for ACC, for conference games. And so that's what the Big Ten does right now, right? And so, you know what? It's not necessarily a big deal for Pitt and Wisconsin to go and, you know, for them to not have the 2026 matchup at Camperdown Stadium. In fact, I mean, if you look at Indiana and what, you know, you've seen what they've done with their non-conference schedule. You know, it's, you know, they're not facing the Titans or Power Four programs, right? And Wisconsin's already got Notre Dame for the beginning of next year. So that's going to be a big litmus test for Wisconsin going up against Marcus Freeman and the Fighting Irish there. So the Pitt game, it's not a big deal. It is with Wisconsin. You know, they did sign 13 freshmen for that part. Mark, you know, when it comes to their 2026 class, they also have a JUCO linebacker who used to play in Door County at Southern Door, and Taylor Schaefer. So you could call that 14 if you wanted to. But yeah, I mean, it was a rough end to the 2026 class for Wisconsin, where the National Signing Day is in February, but really the de facto one is in December during this early signing period. Because a lot of these kids enroll early in January now to get a head start in hopes of contributing earlier. So for me, with Wisconsin, you know, like, they saw a lot of flips late. Amari Latimer is the big one, the 4-star running back out of Georgia, who flipped late to West Virginia. You also, you know, Jaden Petit, the 4-star wide receiver, who I saw live in Florida, who I think really is I think he could be a game changer. He flipped, you know, previously to Oklahoma. Jack Janda, a tight end, defensive lineman, you know, a jumbo athlete, I call him. You know, he flipped to Iowa, you know, a day before. So, honestly, there's some, even on top of that, they had like other recruits leave since November from the 2026 class. So yeah, it's tough, for Wisconsin, and it's also hard to blame them with just how that season for Wisconsin has gone. But there are a couple of things you heard from Luke Fickell in terms of how he tried to put it, where trying to look at the class and be like, okay, are we going to bring in 22 guys, 22 freshmen every year? No. He started referring to them as like draft picks, where they're not bringing in 22 guys. They're bringing in, this year they'll have 13. We'll see what they do next year. But it also kind of speaks to, with the transfer portal, like they're going to need bodies in the transfer portal for this season, especially with, the way this season ended for Wisconsin was 4-8. And where is this direction of the program? They need to win now. Here's this new vocabulary where Jimmy is draft picks. Like Luke Fickell talked about investment, that that we're in this new age of college football and ref share and NIL. So we'll see just, who stays for Wisconsin, who goes, who actually comes aboard in what will be the most critical offseason in Wisconsin football in quite a while.
Got about a minute for the final thought right here, and that is on today's matchup between Wisconsin and Marquette in men's basketball. What should we watch for in today's game?
I mean, really, to me, I think it's just about focusing on Wisconsin. And it was a rough loss to TCU, Thanksgiving weekend. They bounced back well against Northwestern earlier this week. The backcourt kind of continue the efficiency like they did against Northwestern. And I think it also goes to Andrew Rohde, the Brookfield Central product, who was at St. Thomas in Virginia beforehand. He was dishing out assists. So can they continue distributing the ball and moving the ball around, which can create opportunities? I think that's big. The other thing is making sure the bigs can rebound. And, Austin Rapp, the Australian forward, he didn't start against Northwestern. We'll see if he does. We saw him respond well, scoring in double figures. Can he continue rebounding after, what's been kind of an up and down start? And we'll see where that goes against Marquette.
Jay Kokorowski, you can find his work at Badger Observer, badgerobserver.com. Thank you for your time. Enjoy covering everything this weekend. We'll talk to you again next Saturday.
You guys have a great weekend.
Thanks, Jake. The Roundtable is back right after this on Make the Call.
Welcome back to Make the Call on Civic Media.
The big voice guy is correct. It is Make the Call here on Civic Media, your Saturday morning look at sports around the state. And a big thanks to Jake Kokorowski in our last segment for covering everything Wisconsin. We now turn our attention back to our roundtable of Parker Olson, Conrad Krieger, and Greg Gunderson as we get to talk about the biggest sports stories of the week at large. And I think the big thing on people's mind is what's going to happen tomorrow with Packers and Bears. Now, this game was flexed from a noon game to 3:25. And in that afternoon window, it's going up only against one other game, which means everywhere except parts of Arizona and Southern California are getting Packers-Bears on their TV. That's the game. It's as close to being a national broadcast without actually being a standalone primetime game as you can get. So this is a massively important game for the top of the NFC North, and heck, maybe even the top of the NFC, depending on how everything shakes out in the standings. So I'm going to lead into it with this. Guys, I've been looking at the matchup. You look at what the Packers have been doing defensively with that defensive front and just how incredible it's been. Seeing Micah Parsons just all over the backfield on Thanksgiving, it's still fresh in my mind. And I wonder now, as they go into this stretch where they play the Bears twice, and they also have the Broncos sandwiched in there, they're going up against a couple of the best offensive lines in all of football. So how does that matchup fare for the Packers when we get to these couple of games? I'm going to start with Gray, because Gray is my guy with the spreadsheets. I can see all 15 of them reflected in his glasses on our video chat that we do in addition to the radio thing. I can see all of them. I don't know what's on them, but there are a lot of spreadsheets there, Gray. I want to start with you on this matchup of Packers pass rush and defensive front against what should be some pretty good offensive line combinations coming up here.
Absolutely. And Jimmy, I wish you were even close to kidding, but I've got 5 tabs, each with tables of data, because that's actually the point I want to make on this particular game. On paper, the Packers are going to be the only team on the field this week. The Bears are bottom 10 in defense when it comes to points per game, allowed and yards per game allowed, but the Packers are top 10 in both offense and defense. You know, they're like, we've got an all-arounder versus an offense-only team. But here's the thing. The Bears lead the league, the entire league, in one key stat, and that's takeaways. And point turnover differential. They don't give the ball away, and they take it away often. More to the point, they score when they take it from you. So they generate extra possessions, and they score on those possessions. They score more points. They win more games. I'm scared of that, but there's holes there. They could be exposed. So again, on paper, this is the Packers all day long. However, it's not going to work that way. Ben Johnson is phenomenal at outwitting Packers' efforts in general. Offense, defense, doesn't matter. He consults with his defense as much as he's game planning on offense. So we absolutely have to watch out for what Caleb Williams can accomplish. Also, Jimmy, you mentioned that offensive line of the Bears, one of the best in the league. One of the reasons why is that Caleb Williams is better this year than he's ever been at utilizing his line. He's moving around in a way that puts his linemen between him and the pass rushers. It sounds obvious, but it's incredibly hard to do when you've got five guys rushing at you and five more rushing away from you that you're trying to throw a football to. So Caleb Williams is better this year at the hardest part of being a quarterback, and the Packers should be the best test of that. That matchup, that offensive line, defensive line relationship is the whole game. Like, we didn't know that. Sorry, deep insights here only.
I feel like you hit a really good point there, Gray, with Ben Johnson and how good he's gotten his, how well he's played against, or had his teams played against, rather, the Packers, because obviously with the Lions, he kind of had the Packers numbers there. Was doing very well there as the offensive coordinator whenever he took on the Packers. And now I think he's got his Bears offense clicking. Something that really stood out to me when Ben Johnson got hired to be the head coach for the Bears was he's going to bring in stuff offensively that probably isn't going to be the easiest thing for that offense to learn, for especially a young quarterback like Caleb Williams. And now that you've got, what is it, almost the entire season under your belt already, and you still haven't played against the Packers, they're going to be really good. They're going to be operating really well now that they have actually got all those reps under their belt. They know the offense. They know what they're doing. I think that the Packers should be really, really upset about the fact that they didn't get to play the Bears at all until this week in the NFL schedule. I think it's kind of, first of all, just I think that's a wild thing to begin with. But honestly, it hurts them so much because Johnson has got that offense to where it needs to be to execute now. Conrad, I'm sure that you've got kind of a similar thing. It's like, it really sucks that we didn't, and honestly, for the NFL too, this is a great rivalry. As Jimmy was saying, it's going to be all over the country except for LA, basically. It's kind of a shame that we didn't get to see this earlier on in the year, and now we're going to have a double dose in 3 week period.
You know, Jimmy, you said that they, you know, they flexed it to 325. I can't believe they didn't flex it to primetime, because the game for primetime is Houston versus Kansas City, and both of those teams, that game's going to suck. I already know. How is this game not at 7?
Conrad, I can explain why they didn't move it to Sunday Night Football, and that's literally because of TV networks being guaranteed a certain number of games for, like, so Fox has NFC games. They're guaranteed to get their divisional matchups, at least one of them. So the other Packers-Bears game is a 7 o'clock game coming up in a couple of weeks. So Fox has the rights to this, so they couldn't give it up to a primetime game this week. So their options were to keep it at noon or move it to 325. There wasn't really a third way to go with it, since the other Bears matchup was already set for a Saturday. So that's why this one only could move to the afternoon.
You know, this game is so important. And it's like, if we lose, we can go down to, I don't even know, 7 or the 8 seed. And the Bears, if they lose, they go down to the 7 seed. It's so important that these guys are going to play so well on each side, both Bears and Packers. They're going to play so hard, and it's going to be a fantastic game. I just can't wait to watch it.
Close games. Close games are the best games, and I expect this one to be. The game on Thursday night was a good example of how odd the NFC is. I mentioned this on one of my shows on Friday. When you had Detroit going with the Cowboys, that's two teams kind of doing the hokey pokey with playoff chances. You know, they're in, they're out, they're right on the fringes, they're one win away. So the Lions pulled themselves a little bit higher, whereas a Dallas win would have been a slightly bigger boost to Dallas's chances. Now, the Green Bay-Chicago game is different in that you've got the current number one seed, and you've got the current, I think, like you said, number 5, 6, 7, that kind of range, wild card range for Green Bay right now. And they'll just basically flip-flop, more or less. I think the Packers take the 2 or 3 seed, so it's not quite a full catapult and a full flip, but the Bears absolutely become bottom half. They become a wild card team immediately. And that is why a lot of good teams in the NFC won't make the playoffs this year. And boy, I hope it's worth it. If Green Bay does that, wins against Chicago, and then hopefully does it again December 20th in Chicago, I'm terrified for that game. Then they'll flame out in the NFC Championship, and it'll hurt that much more, I think.
I like that idea. I really like that idea.
No, I wish I didn't say that. Don't agree with me, Parker. I wish I didn't even say that.
No, Packers-Bears NFC Championship game, that just... Guys.
I like that.
Do you know how much the NFL will love that?
Oh, man, that's not even what I meant, but I need it now. I need that now. Right to the main vein, please, with that one.
You know, for this game, I'm still not completely sold on Caleb Williams. I think this year it's been a lot of the run game that's just been so well for the Bears. And I'm not convinced about Caleb Williams yet. I don't think he still is fully throwing the ball well. And I think this week is a full test on can he throw under pressure, because, I mean, Rashawn Gary on one side, Micah Parsons on the other, he's going to be throwing the ball, you know, quickly. And I don't know, maybe they have some schemes for that, but this is a full test for Caleb Williams this week.
I believe. I'll say I believe, and I shouldn't. I'm the Packer fan, I know, but like, no, they're for real. I think Caleb Williams is for real, at least as a combination with head coach Ben Johnson, and especially with their current offensive line. Their tackles, especially, you keep that group together, Caleb, the two tackles, and Ben Johnson, and I'm scared.
So we've talked a lot on the Packers and Bears matchup, and I'm very excited that we get this two times in the span of 13 days. But I do want to talk a little bit, guys, too, and get your thoughts just on everything happening with the Milwaukee Bucks, because all these stories that have come out this year, whether it's a preseason or even just this week, and all these media stories about Giannis wanting to be traded and how bad the Bucks have been to start the year, all these things that have just kind of been happening. Either way, whatever the media says or whatever the players say, the truth is, as always, probably somewhere in the middle. So the vibes are definitely off with the Bucks this year. I'm just curious what you guys think about where this is all kind of heading. To me, this is not heading for a good place. I don't see all of this happening and then this leading to a parade sometime in the summer in Milwaukee. That's where I'm at on it. And I think if that's what your benchmark is for keeping things as is that it's championship or bust, then clearly we're not getting to that point. I'm just curious what you guys think about everything happening with the Bucks and Giannis.
I think you're right that we're definitely not going to get a parade this year. It does not seem like they're in a situation right now that the Bucks will be able to turn things around, salvage the season, because remember that they're going to be without Giannis for another couple of weeks here just from injury. Forget the fact that all the trade rumors, drama, whatever there may be, he's hurt. And there's been a lot of injury bug going on around there for the Bucks. So I don't think this is going to be the year. If the Bucks manage to hang on to him for another year, maybe we can talk about, all right, this team has got more chemistry together, and maybe that next year is when you can start to see more success for the Bucks.
You know, right now I'm not convinced that they're going to make the playoffs. I think without Giannis, it's a hard get. And right now they're 10-13. They're like 10th in the Eastern Conference, and it's a tough Eastern Conference this year. I don't know. Without Giannis, they don't have much. Miles Turner hasn't proven that he can be that one. And I mean, Kevin Porter Jr. has had better games than Miles Turner, and he's been back for like two games. So it's going to be a tough stretch of games. I'm not expecting much. And, you know, we hear this every week, I feel like, now that Giannis wants to be traded or something like that. But like I said in the first segment, there's no package that could be for Giannis that's fair. And if we trade for him, I think we could go back to a time where we were really, really bad. And I think I'm 26, so I've seen how they were really, really bad when I was growing up, and it was hard to cheer for them. But just don't go back to that way, please.
You don't want to go back to the greatest buoy of the team being Brandon Jennings. I mean, there was a hot game or two there.
Andrew Bogut, can't forget him.
There were players on the court at that time. For me, I want more info. You know what I'd love to do is to accidentally wind up sitting down at a random diner in a small town and look up and realize it's Giannis sitting next to me. And we can just have that moment at about the three-quarter mark of the movie where he just spills his guts, because I want to know where his head is at. I want to know what he feels. And I know we get leaks of info about his emotions on the state of the team and on coaching and things. But honestly, the rumor to fact ratio, I'm not a huge fan. And yes, there's clearly so much discourse that it's not based on nothing. But at a certain point, stuff like that seems to reinforce itself. You know, if Giannis woke up tomorrow on a really good day and nobody felt like talking about him, could that start a stretch of better news and better discussion around his relationship with the team? We'll never know, because we're never going to get out of this cycle that we're in right now. So I don't know. I like to eat the frog. If I know I'm going to eat the frog, I better do it at 8 a.m., get it done, get the mouthwash in. I'm a clean break kind of guy. And it just, I don't know. I start thinking of that country song, High Road. It's like, okay, if you're talking like this, just end it. Why are we in this situation that's so ugly we're describing?
It is very interesting where we're heading with everything, with the Bucks, with Giannis, with everything. I think that for whatever happens with Giannis, whatever team he goes to next, he's going to have the same problem, because they're going to have to give up so much to get him. And that big contract is going to limit whatever moves they can make after the fact. So the grass might not always be greener, but I think in the case of the Bucks have, to their credit, done absolutely everything they can to be as competitive as long as they can with Giannis. And in the NBA, where a lot of those tools are kind of limited and taken from you, just in the CBA and draft picks and all these salary caps and aprons and floors and all the other things that they do, the mechanisms to move players, I think the Bucks have done absolutely everything in their power to do it. And there's not much else they can do at this point. They're out of draft picks and there's not a whole lot of contracts to move at this stage. Guys, we are out of time for the roundtable today. I appreciate all of you. Parker, Gray, Conrad, thanks as always for all of your contributions here today.
Thank you, Jimmy.
Thank you, Jimmy. Have a good weekend.
Thank you.
Thanks again, guys. Coming up next, we're going to go through the three WIAC football teams still remaining in the NCAA football playoffs. Also, UW Oshkosh in the volleyball national championship. We'll talk about it. We're going to do that coming up next and get a mega update from Mike Clemens covering all things sports in Wisconsin. That's next right here on Make the Call. It's part of the vast Civic Media Sports Network. Back after this.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to Make the Call on Civic Media.
Final segment of Make the Call is a chance to take a look at some of the local sports happening around the state. First of all, if you're looking for high school games, check your local station listings. We're airing about 300 winter sports games just in high school sports alone. So make sure you check out your local stations and see what you've got coming up on the air. This next week is very busy for high school sports around the state here on Civic Media. If we take a look at some college sports, the WIAC fall sports are in NCAA tournament mode. The Volleyball Division III National Championship is being held later today. It'll be Laverne taking on Oshkosh, and that is set for a 4:00 start. So if you're looking forward to some Division III Volleyball National Championship matchup, that is happening again later today. That is at 4 p.m. Laverne knocked out UW Eau Claire in the Elite Eight, so a bit of a revenge factor if you're thinking from a purely WIAC perspective. If we look at Division III football, huge, huge matchup today in River Falls. It has St. John's at River Falls. That's a noon kickoff at Raymer Field, so coming up here in just a couple of hours. Huge matchup between two schools that aren't located that far apart. Those two teams have also met as of late in the non-conference part of the schedule, so that one should be pretty exciting. In another part of the Division III bracket, there are two WIAC teams on opposite sides of it. One of them is La Crosse, which got an upset win on the road over Hope last week in a snowstorm. They will get top-seeded and defending national champion North Central of Illinois. That game is in Naperville. That is a noon kickoff. And the third team from the WIAC still playing in the third round is UW-Platteville. They weathered a near blizzard last week in defeating Elma 24-7. The Pioneers get Bethel of Minnesota. They were 51-26 winners over Coe College. That's in Iowa, and they will play at noon again as well. That's in the Minneapolis-St. Paul suburbs. So those are your matchups for WIAC in both volleyball and in football. Should be a very, very exciting day for Division III sports. This has been Make the Call. Big thanks to our roundtable of Gray, Parker, and Conrad, as well as Jake Kokorowski. I'm Jimmy Kuska. Here's now an update from Mike Clemens. You've been listening to Make the Call, part of the Civic Media Sports Network. Have a great weekend, everybody.
I'm
Another Bucks player injured. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NBA. The Bucks' A.J. Green had to leave last night in the second quarter. Milwaukee losing to the 76ers 116-101 at five-serve form. Head coach Doc Rivers asked about what happened to Green in the first half.
Do you have an update on A.J. or how bad that is?
Don't know how bad it is. It's a shoulder. Which isn't great. We'll do an MRI tomorrow, and we'll find out. He's going to come with us, and we're going to do the MRI in Detroit.
The Bucks play the Pistons tonight. Milwaukee now just 10-14 for the season. Detroit in first place in the Eastern Conference with 18 wins and 5 losses. College hoops, an in-state rivalry today at the Kohl Center in Madison. The Badgers men basketball team will host the Marquette Golden Eagles this afternoon, tip-off time 1 p.m. Marquette is 5-4, the Badgers with 6 wins and 2 losses. College volleyball, the Wisconsin Badgers women's team with a sweep of the North Carolina Tar Heels at the UW Fieldhouse last night in Madison, 3-0. So the Badgers volleyball team will now advance to the regional semifinals next week for the 13th year in a row. NFL, it's the Bears and the Packers tomorrow at 3:25. One of the most anticipated games of the season, now that the Bears have been the Cinderella team of the league, having won 5 games in a row after beating the defeating champs, the Eagles, last week, 24-15 in Philadelphia. Chicago in first place in the NFC North. The Bears' 2 running backs, DeAndre Swift and rookie Kyle Manungai out of Rutgers, rushed for a combined 281 yards, the most for Chicago since the legendary 1985 Bears team that won the Super Bowl. Quarterback Caleb Williams asked about that in a press conference.
Did you hear the stat that the last time the Bears had 200-yard rushing?
Yeah, 1985. That's a cool stat, right? And so having that, I know it provides a lot of confidence within the coaching. I know it provides a lot of confidence in the O-line and running backs especially, that they can put the game on their back. They can do everything, you know, that we need to win for us. And, you know, when it comes time for us to pass or whatever case may be, we can do it. And, you know, when it came down to it, we put the ball in the running back's hands, and they, you know, they were electric for us.
It will be cold tomorrow at Lambeau Field, around 19 degrees at the kickoff, with temperatures in the single digits expected by the fourth quarter. I asked Packers star defensive player Micah Parsons if he does anything special during the week to prepare for a game with the bumps and bruises of being a football player.
You know, A.J. Hawk used to have a hyperbaric chamber. Is there a thing that you've learned as a veteran to get ready for Sunday, particularly in this kind of condition?
You know, everyone has their thing. Me, I like body work. Like, everyone has their thing. Like, I get on the table 5 times a week, even before the game. Like, if we play at noon, I'm waking up at 6:30 to get on the table to get body work. Like, that's who I am, home or away. So, everyone has their way. The weather's the weather. You can't really control Mother Nature, like. But I think I can play in any condition. Like, that don't really change anything. It's all mindset. Like, I mean, we used to play in superb heat. Like, still got to play. Play in superb cold. Like, still got to play. So I don't really care about the conditions. And I went to a cold school. Penn State was cold as hell. And I'm from Pennsylvania. Played in a state championship game. Like, it's cold. We don't got no heated benches. Like this is bougie now. This is like, I tell guys all the time, like, this is the good life. Like, when you raise up in the East Coast, like, there's no heated blanket. Like we got it so good. Like, heaters, like, oxygen. Like, we wasn't like this is sweet. Like, the only time it gets like real cold where it's like it's tough to play in is like times like where you see Buffalo and they're playing in like 3 inches of snow and it's like snow everywhere. Like, but just cold is not really like cold, like, you know what I mean? Like, those, like, that's not football weather. Like, when it's snowing like that and like you can't even run and like you can't see, like, I don't even know if you know it's the first down or not. You can't even look at the markers. Like, that's not football. Like, but this is okay.
And quarterback Jordan Love has been nominated for the NFL's Walter Payton Man of the Year Award for his volunteer work in the community. I asked Love about the work of his foundation, Hands of Love, focused on helping kids, being recognized for it by the league.
Yeah, I just think it's cool. I think it's the platform we have and where we're at in life to be able to give back to, you know, especially the youth and kids that are, you know, coming up and I think striving to be in the position we want to be, we're in now. I think it all just has a positive impact on people's lives, and I think it's all something that's important and something I've, when I first got here, I was able to see other guys do that, and it's all good stuff, and it's stuff I just want to keep doing.
That's Packers quarterback Jordan Love. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.